All right, so the Bible passage is Psalm 88, and it's on the sheets just under your chairs. Grab it out. Or use your own Bible if you bought it. Okay, so Psalm 88. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves, Selah. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Selah. Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. I'm going to pass over to Elaine.
Thank you. Alrighty, everyone, let's just thank Nick for some beautiful reading. Say a prayer for us this morning and just commit our time to God. Heavenly Father, we praise you for being a God of awesomeness and providence. We thank you that you've given us this incredible book, the Bible, to be our guidebook for teaching us how to do life and for knowing more about you. We thank you that you're here with us right now. Just pray that through your word you will speak to us now into our hearts, and through your Holy Spirit teach us and change us and transform us. In Jesus, your Son's most awesome, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We're just going to start by watching a few seconds of this video.
Wouldn't it be nice if the world is gathering? You could serve inside a chocolate tin. Ride your board across the way forever. Can't wipe out and never get a bruise. And if a shark came up and tried to bite you, you could say, I'm chocolate, I invite you. Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? I don't know whether you guys remember when these ads for Cadbury chocolate were like all over the place. And to imagine to live in a place that was made out of chocolate. You can go to the beach and just eat everything. It'll taste awesome and I'll probably die because I'm like lactose intolerant, but like, and although I don't know whether I'll shake my butt to a shark and ask it to bite me, this ad, like, it makes the world look incredible. Like, it looks so awesome. Everything looks carefree and everyone looks happy and it looks like utter bliss and fun and nice. But life isn't always carefree and happy and bliss and nice, is it? What happens when we just have that really bad day and nothing went the way we wanted to? We fail that exam and our parents are going to kill us. Our friendship groups are breaking up and we're getting bullied. Or maybe we feel like we keep doing the same sin over and over again and we just can't seem to get it right. Or we look in the mirror, we look at ourselves, we can't understand why we don't look like these people in the magazines. Or tragedy strikes and someone passes away and your whole world gets turned upside down. And you just feel like God is punishing you. And you ask God, why are you doing this to me? Or maybe you're someone, you know, you do all the right things and you're following God and you come to TC and Bible study and to all the camps, but slowly by slowly your passion just kind of dries up. and you feel like you're drifting away, and you find it hard to pick up your Bible, and you feel so alone in the dark and so small and far away from God, you feel like such a bad Christian. And if I was a proper Christian, I wouldn't feel this way. Right? Like, and we say to God, "You'll always be close to me," right? You said that to me. Where are you, God? Why does it feel like you aren't listening to me? What happens then? When life just sucks. We just suck. Or it feels like God just sucks. Like, even when we know all these amazing things about him, that he's so loving and compassionate and looks after us, and we know that we matter to him so much, and that he's our God and King, and we should be so on fire for him and happy and grateful and praising him all the time. But what if we don't feel like that? Because life isn't always just happiness and rainbows, and our butts aren't made out of chocolate. What do we do when life just sucks? You might have been surprised when the psalm was read out. It's not really like the ones that we've been reading out through TC lately. But this type of psalm isn't actually that uncommon. There's a bunch of them, they're called complaint psalms, songs of lament. These hard parts of the Bibles, we actually can't ignore or water down, because these parts are real and life is real. And then we'll be ignoring and watering down the parts of life that are really hard as well. And we don't want to do that, because we don't just want to have a God of the good times, because life isn't just made up of good times. And so this psalm, this type of psalm, is useful because we need a faith that is strong enough for when those times are tough. And this psalm, we need it for when actually we know someone is going through a tough time. And if you're not someone that's going through that kind of thing, you need to keep it in your back pocket for when that time will come. Well, I don't know whether you've been looking at the news lately, but there has been quite a lot of bad stuff happening around the world. And we need to have a faith that speaks to those across the world, to the couple that just lost their only child, to the people who are dying of disease, to the nations in the middle of war. What are we going to do then? We can actually look at the book Psalms in the Bible, God's guidebook for our lives, the biggest book of the Bible, center of the Bible, to help us. And each psalm is actually a poem. You might be thinking, yeah, right, Elaine, they don't rhyme. Oh, well, not our poems have to rhyme, just newsflash. These poems are meant to be songs for songing, and are like written as emotional cries out to God, and actually show us how to relate to God as a friend, and teaches us how to worship him. While the rest of the Bible speaks to us, actually speaks for us and cries directly out to God. And that's exactly what the writer of the psalm is doing right now, crying out to God. And it looks pretty full on, and leads me to my first point. It's actually okay to cry out to God. This guy who wrote this song, his name is actually Heman, or He-Man, I think it's going to be Heman for me. He doesn't seem to be that happy, does he? In actual fact, he sounds downright depressed. Follow along with me as we read some passages through. From verse 1, "O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care." Can you feel what this guy is saying, this Heman guy? Like, his life clearly sucks. He's not holding back. He's totally just saying it how he feels. He's saying his soul is full of trouble. He's like, he doesn't even have strength anymore. Everything is so bad, it's to the point that he feels like he's about to die. That his life draws near to the grave. He's going to the pit. He feels that God doesn't even think about him more. There ain't no, like, 6 grains of sand thoughts that we heard about last week. That God doesn't even care anymore about him. He feels that so strongly that he starts to pretty much accuse God of being the one that makes his life terrible. From verse 6, "You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made them me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief." And again from verse 13, "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, O God, do you reject me and hide me from your face, from me? From verse 15, I suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me all day long. They surround me like a flood and they completely engulf me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. Oh my goodness, this guy must be having it so real bad if he's saying all these things. He's saying that you, God, have you yourself put me in the darkest, the sadness, and the saddest and the lowest points of despair. He's feeling God's wrath upon him really hard. And he's saying that even God is taking his friends and making them hate him. Imagine all your friends at school just suddenly up and hating you. No one likes you. No one cares about you. You have no one left. God is making his life miserable and torture and hard. He's saying that even God himself is rejecting him and hiding his face from him. So what would you do in this situation? Let's have a look at what he does. He cries out to God. From verse 1, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you, turn your ear to my cry. And from verse 13, I cry to you for help, O Lord, in the morning my prayer comes before you. Haman actually cries out to God every day and every night. 24/7 he's directly calling out to God, asking him, begging him to listen to his cries for help in his distress. Have you felt like you ever cried out to God when things got tough? When you felt like you were so alone by yourself and your struggles and your doubts and your terrors are all you can think about? I'm a girl. Thanks, Captain Obvious. But, and let's face it, girls kind of like to talk. I'm also probably the biggest crier in the world. I'll freely admit it now. I'm a huge wuss. I'm the worst detective movies because, like, seriously, like, thank God for Waterproof Mascara. But I have this best friend, and we talk about anything and everything. And if I was excited about something, I would run and go and tell her about it. And if I was feeling rather unhappy, she would actually be able to tell, no matter how much I tried to hide it. She'll ask me how things are going, and I would tell her everything, like, literally everything. First, I'll start with what happened in my day, what I had for breakfast, what I had for second breakfast, how I felt about breakfast, whether it was a satisfying meal for me, and then a blow-by-blow account of how I opened the jar of jam and smeared it in my toast with a knife. And then I would tell you what I was unhappy about. And you'll be there for, like, 5 hours. I just won't hold back. I'll tell you everything and exactly how I was feeling. And more often than not, I'll probably end up crying. And that's okay, because you can do that when you're with close friends that care about you. You talk and you hang out, and when things are, like, good or tough, you chat about how you feel. If you're not feeling okay, it's okay to not be okay, and you can tell them. They want to know what's going on in your life, even when it's bad, especially when it's bad. And my friend's an even bigger cry than me, so it ends up into, like, a massive cry fest, and it's glorious. Like, we've become even better friends for it. Like, it's so good. So isn't God our friend there as well? And isn't this heavy guy crying out directly to God? So in the same way, it's actually okay to cry out to God and let him know how we feel when life just sucks. When things get tough and you just need to cry. When we're just having that bad day, when we're having that fight with our friends, when we're asking God, where is he in our life? It's actually okay to not be okay all the time and to cry out to God. And he wants to hear about it, even if he doesn't give us an obvious answer straight away. Just a quick fun fact. Each chapter of the Psalms usually, they come with a little title, and it was read out. Actually, it wasn't read out. It was sort of read out. But it's at the top of your sheets. Just underneath the heading of Psalm 88. It goes, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah for the director of music. Then it goes on to do a whole bunch of really difficult to say words. So I won't say them. Essentially, that is like referencing the writers of the psalms and the tune that it will be sung to. But it's also saying that this song was meant to be written and given to the music director to use for singing in the church and the congregation. So this wasn't meant to be like a one-time, extremely sad and lonely love song dedications, heartbreak, singles hit. Like, this psalm, these words were recorded and passed down from generation to generation to be sung and felt and heard by everybody. By these words and feelings were never meant to be experienced alone. And they're meant to help us to relate to God and to worship God during these times. Because these times when life just sucks are real. And we're not feeling okay, that's real. And God is real. And so our relationship with him needs to be real too. So it actually isn't an unchristian thing to cry out to the Lord about our doubts in these times of trouble. God wants us to have a real relationship with him and to be honest and sing out how we really feel. Questioning God doesn't mean we're disobeying him. Expressing doubt doesn't mean we're lacking in faith. Being able to tell God, to let God know when you're angry and hurting is actually a beautiful and intimate thing to do. So it's okay to not be okay and to cry out to God. But what about Haman? Things still look pretty bad for him. It seems nothing's really changed for him. Life still sucks and darkness still surrounds him. His soul's troubled and he feels like the wrath of God and his friends have left him and hate him. There seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. But actually, there's still hope. And even Haman has hope. And he mentions it in this psalm right here. And it's so brief, yet so, so important. It's actually in the first line in verse 1. Let me read it for you again. O Lord, the God who saves me. O Lord, the God who saves me. So like, wait, hold up. Whoa, Haman, like seriously, whoa. Like even in this time where everything seems to be going wrong and your life sucks and your life is so extremely hard, even he can remember there is a God that saves him. And how did God save us? Through his son Jesus. Which takes me to my second point. We can remember Jesus when we're not okay. God sent his son, Jesus, to save everyone on the earth. He cared for us so, so much that he sent his perfect son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross. God doesn't promise to take us away from all the hard times when we're in them, like when we complain about them. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But even in these dark times, when almost all hope is gone and everything seems to be swallowed up by the darkness, we can remember the best, most shining hope of all, and that is Jesus. That Jesus saves us, has saved us, because we're not okay. And we can remember that Jesus knows exactly what we're going through, whatever it is. Jesus felt it and lived it. And when we look at passages like this and we resonate with them, actually, these would have been the exact things that Jesus would have been feeling when he was there nailed on the cross. He bore the weight of the world's sin and pain and would have had to shoulder the entirety of God's wrath and anger and judgment. He would have taken our place and been cut off from God, his own dad. The farthest and sent to the farthest possible corner away from God you could possibly go. He would have suffered the darkness, and God would have turned his face away from him, his one and only son. And Jesus was betrayed and denied by his friends, and finally sent to die by his best and closest friends. And there was no other way. In Matthew 26, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, very soon before he was arrested, he told his friends, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And then when our sin nailed him to that cross, in the next chapter we find that Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" He would have felt his life sucked. He would have felt he sucked. He would have felt God sucked. Jesus wasn't okay. But Jesus cried out to God. So when we're in those situations, we're in those times of darkness, we're actually not alone in this. We can remember Jesus. But even that is still not the whole story. It keeps going. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, where he now sits in the rightful place at the right hand of God, elevated to the highest seat of all. Jesus now takes his place as king and supreme ruler over everything. Oh gosh, and someday he will return and take us with him, those who belong to him. And it says in Revelation, "Now in the dwelling of God is with it is made of death." Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We'll never be apart from God ever again. And it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, wouldn't that be nice? The point here today is, it's okay to be not okay. It's okay to cry out to God and let him know what you're feeling. Because Jesus wasn't okay. Now he's more than okay. And we know that we'll be more than okay too. How about I just pray for us? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you don't expect us to be perfect and okay and fine all the time. We thank you that we can actually cry out to you and let you know and tell you how we're feeling and that you will listen. We thank you for your son Jesus and everything that he's done for us on the cross and the fact that we have a chance to look forward to a place with no sadness and death and mourning and crying and pain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi guys, my name is Nat and I one thing for us to hear today. There is times that is really joyful for us to be.